can we make you a personalized podcast playlist?
Head on over to thehostquiz.com, answer 7 easy questions, and get a unique to your hosting biz playlist of thanks for visiting podcast episodes to help you smash your goals.
The action plan and strategies that will elevate your business is one quick quiz and a set of headphones away. Again, head to thehostquiz.com and take our quick hosting quiz today. You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Choosing the right property management system is a big deal. And we did our research, tried different platforms, and for years, Hostly has been the best fit for our business.
It's not just a PMS. It's how we run everything. Managing listings across Airbnb, Vrbo, and Booking.com, easy. No double bookings, no stress.
And let's talk about guest experience. The custom guidebooks, they are game changer. Guests get check-in details, your house rules, and even favorite restaurants before they have to ask.
Plus, it integrates with everything. Guest screening, direct booking payments, and even in-house damage waivers, which you know we love. And their new Inbox AI, it pulls from your guidebooks and property details to help you answer guest questions faster.
And right now, TFV listeners get an even bigger discount. Hostly just upgraded your deal to $500 off onboarding.
Yep, that means if you sign up for an annual plan, your onboarding is completely free. If you go monthly, you get 50% off your onboarding fee.
So go to hostly.com/TFE and book your demo and grab the discount using code TFE500. The link will also be in the show notes.
Hello, welcome back to another great episode. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. Let's start this episode like we do each and every week, and that is featuring one of you, our incredible listeners, who are heading on over to strshare.com. That's strshare.com, sharing everything you can about your short-term rental so we can celebrate you here on the podcast, to our email list, and to our Instagram fam every Sunday. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
We are sharing at curated_properties. Again, curated_properties, who just so happens to be our wonderful guest on the show today. But I want to highlight a few things from her account ahead of time. Number one, I'm always a sucker for someone that puts their phone number in their bio.
You do love a phone number.
Because to me, it's trust. Am I going to call it? No. But I see it. I know that they're available. And it's just a huge... And if you go through like... some sales and marketing online, you'll see that that type of, even on websites, things of that nature, it still instills trust. But one of the things that going through Janice and her listing, and not just her Instagram, something that I want to point out is she just isn't sharing her property via Instagram. She's doing it Facebook pages. She actually has a YouTube channel. And the reason I want to bring that up today in the STR share is that those multiple places are helping her with her search engine optimization. YouTube is owned by Google. So anytime you can show up there, it's going to help your SEO. And the reason I want to highlight that, not just her Instagram, but the Facebook and YouTube, is you are going to learn today how that has impacted her direct bookings on her property that she just built a website for recently. You'll hear about her percentages there. And this is so important if you want to spend some time socially, is expanding where you show up. And I do think Facebook is a very easy lift, a low lift. And then after that, and you'll see on her YouTube, it's not her. It's her just showing things around town that there are to do. So it's not like you need to start some giant YouTube channel and do all this editing and things like that. Check it out and you'll see kind of how she is doing that. But kudos to Janice on making sure that her property is she's meeting guests where they are showing up. And then she's feeding some of the other algorithms, if you will, and her own search engine optimization, which is the most important.
All right, let's get on to the show. So we are interviewing Janice. And Janice is a host. I don't want to give too much of her story because it's so good. Annette said it best towards the end of the episode, where Janice is a masterclass in resiliency. And as hosts, we know that no day is the same. And so our industry is really built for people who are resilient. And like Janice says in the episode, if you get knocked down 6 times, you get up 7. One of my favorite parts of the episode is Janice lives on property and she shares other aspects of her property, and she is female and she is very focused on direct booking. So if you are out there listening right now and you're unsure about direct booking and you feel like an Airbnb guest is more safe, I think that aspect of the interview is really interesting. She's also going to mention an acronym, HBM, throughout the episode. And that is Annette and my private, Hosting Business Mastery. It's our private group where we offer group coaching, we offer self-guided videos, education, workshops, things of that nature.
Private Facebook group.
And Janice has been a part of our community for over 3 years now. So she mentions that, and I want to make sure that you knew what that acronym stood for. But without further ado, Janice's story is full of ups and downs, twists and turns, and I know she's going to be a source of inspiration for you. Janice, welcome to the show. I am a little ashamed it's taken us this long to get you on here because you are such an incredible person in our lives and your story deserves to be told. So let's get into it. Before you started hosting, what were you doing and how did that lead to hosting your short-term rentals?
I have owned an interior architecture and design firm since 1996. I'm much older than you guys. And so I actually graduated in 1986. And so I've been an entrepreneur for a long time and I loved it. And honestly, I always wanted to have Airbnbs when it became a thing because I thought it would be really cool to host people. So like you, Sarah, I came from the hospitality industry. I worked in the restaurant business for a long time, a high-end restaurant. And then with my interior architecture firm, we always took a Nordstrom approach, which people probably don't even think of anymore. But at the time, that's like the highest quality care you can take for a customer. And so we had always worked that way. So I'm just basically taking my restaurant hands-on care and reading a room and understanding people and taking that to the firm. And then with Signature Environments, which is my design firm, we had always hit where our goal was the top 20% of the market in whatever market we were involved in. And that led us to great success. And so I really wanted to take that approach with Airbnbs, but I knew nothing. So it was, I was like, I want to do this. So all this started is in 2020, fall of 2020, I was married and we got a divorce. We started separating. And that was obviously extremely stressful. I worked in his business. I had been consulting for a long time. It's with lots of clients around the country with my business, and then went in-house with him for 7 years. And then when we separated, I lost my job. So now suddenly I'm, one, not sure I'll even have a home, and two, have no job. And so that was a pretty exciting, traumatic time, as you can imagine, and right in the middle of COVID. And I could not find a job. And so I finally landed something that was very out of my industry, but based on my consulting experience, which was a COVID-based position. And then transitioned out of that because it was just a temp job. And I'm like, cannot find a job anywhere. I'm in a small town in southwestern Virginia. And, you know, I'm at that age where there is, you know, I'm not old, but there is some bias toward women who are older, and it's a small community. So that was challenging. So I was like, okay, so I have all this experience as an entrepreneur and a consultant. What do you do? So long story short, in the divorce, I actually was able to successfully negotiate for the house, which is so distinctive, especially in this market, but generally in the South, that I thought, boy, I can monetize this thing if I can get it, and did. But then I had no job to pay the mortgage with. So what somebody do when they're in that situation? Well, of course, you start a business. So I started Curated Properties in early 2022 and knew enough to do an LLC and worked on my branding immediately. But then I was like, I have all this background in commercial and residential design, high-end residential design, and lots of hospitality experience, but I know nothing about short-term rentals at all. I'd stayed in Airbnbs before. I can't say anything was outstanding to even reference. But I knew, oh gosh, you have to have messaging, you have to have this, you have to have that. And I had no idea where to start. And then I had a local host come and consult with me just to tell me what was possible with my property. And I actually was going to hire her and never could get her to come back and work with me. And she wanted to turn it into nurse rentals and this and that. And I was like, that's not where I'm going with this. This is a high-end house. It's going to be a high-end rental. But the upside was she introduced me to Host GPO for purchasing, and on Host GPO, you guys were too, an interview. And I caught the interview on there. That's how I became affiliated with you. I've never heard of you before. I knew I needed that shortcut. I needed somebody to infuse me with all the knowledge as quickly as possible, invest in that. Like, I was happy to invest in it, because if you can take me from nothing and jump me ahead in 5 years worth of knowledge, roughly, it's totally worth it to me to invest that. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll do this for 6 months, the initial membership, and, you know, I'll you know, take everything I can from the program, and that'll be great. And here I am 3 years later. It's been, honestly, if I look over my entire professional career, this has been one of the best assets I've ever invested in. I mean, my education, my commercial, you know, my interior architecture degree definitely obviously has paid for itself. But being part of your community has been so integral to me, because if you think of when I started, it was in COVID. And so even in early 2022, our area was still pretty limited. And so I was kind of in my own little world. And when I joined and got the knowledge I was getting from HVM, I also got the community. So I was connecting in Zoom meetings and I was learning at the same time. And not only do the two of you have so much expertise, but then, you know, there was everybody from newbies to extremely experienced people in the group. And I didn't feel like I could ask a stupid question. And it was, you guys were amazing. And the way you set the group up was amazing. So I think for people who are starting out, and I think anybody in the industry, I mean, we have people join all the time now who've been in the industry for a long time. So that's kind of where I got going.
Want to dig in. When did you list and start getting guests and like, this is possible? This is
July 1st, okay. 2022.
Okay. And how did it go? Because you joined, you said 2022, July 1st?
Yeah. And I joined you guys, I think, in either, February or January.
January 20. Mm-hmm. So you joined us before you opened.
Yep.
And then you, and okay.
did all your training.
Yes, you did.
Every single meeting I could do, listened to back episodes that you had recorded, like back to the very beginning, and all the insiders, everything. I mean, I dug into the site and then participated in the Facebook group. And so it opened on July 1st and the launch went really well. And so I was really pleased and got a lot of bookings. So I was like, yes, and great reviews. And so, you know, it was that feedback loop was perfect. I was getting 5-star reviews. And then I was able to rely on the group when I was coming across messaging glitches or other challenges. You know, even though I'd gone through all those things, when you get live and you're in the 3-dimensional world, it makes it different, isn't it?
Yes, it does.
You know, humans be human-y.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's one of my favorite lines. You know, we do, and guests, they do as well. So
yeah. It
was great to be able to drop into the group and say, oh my gosh, somebody asked me this. I honestly can't figure out how to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I was thinking about with you guys that I love is not only do you have the core training and all of the background that an HP member can get, but you also teach us how to think about the why.
Mm.
And so you are teaching us reasoning skills in a very unique industry, which is huge because we do need to be self-reliant. If you get a message at 10 o'clock in the night or midnight, or your AC fails at 2 o'clock, when your guests are checking at 4 o'clock, ask me how that happened.
Uh-huh.
but that's been huge. It's like, okay. And I have that life experience from running my business, but in this instance, as opposed to architecture firm, it's not people's safety. I mean, you're designing to be safe. So, but that's a pre-planned thing. This is so in the moment and everything is literally 3 dimensions, you know, guests potentially tripping, not having a handrail, AC breaking down, an appliance failing, those kinds of things. You know, you guys create such a framework of thinking that it was huge for me.
I want everyone to kind of in their mind's eye picture what your property is and what it looks like. So can you walk us through, I'm going to ask you a few questions, then get into it. Do you still live there?
I do.
And tell us, map out, as we, like, people can't see this right now. So Can you create an image for us of how this works? How many properties do you have within your property? How does it work living there? All that kind of good stuff.
So I own it's 4,100 square foot, 3 stories on 1.3 acres in a rural town, historic town in southwestern Virginia. And the house, it's on a dead end street with a cul-de-sac. It's a high end neighborhood, and it is one of the tallest hills in town. So it's very distinctive from the location. The second part is it's architecturally quite distinctive in that it's very contemporary. So the main floor and the lower floor were the original house. It has a shed roof. So as you pull into the driveway, you kind of turn to the right and the garages are to the right and you see the length of the house. The house is quite long. And then above the garage is the nest. And then the front door will be the Hilltop Oasis, which is going live here in the next couple weeks. And that's the one I think that's going to be the barn burner.
I know, I'm excited.
I should have done it a couple years ago when I live on it. And then at the front porch, you turn left and there's some hidden stone stairs and you walk through gardens and you transition around to the lower level, which is the Oasis and the Cozy Oasis, a child, which we can talk about. It has a 7,000-gallon koi pond. It's a half acre that's specifically for the Oasis guests. And it really is a world away. It's right in town, but it's quiet and it's private and guests really respond to it.
Oh, your reviews are. And we'll link to Janice's properties in the show notes, and her reviews are exceptional. So you just described 3 places,
mm-hmm.
that the nest, the Oasis, and the Hilltop.
Right. And I have Cozy Oasis is the child of the Oasis, so technically 4. So
right.
I have been living in Hilltop.
Okay.
My insurance company requires me to be on site. They were very sneaky and wrote it as if it's a bed and breakfast.
Okay. Mm.
So that's something that has to be addressed. But it would be uncomfortable for guests to be occupying Hilltop Oasis, the main floor, if there were separate family in the Oasis, because they'd be walking all over the top of them. It's not super loud, but a little kid running around would be really obnoxious. So the Hilltop Oasis will override the Oasis rental. They're rented only as a pair.
Okay.
And then I'll move up to the nest.
I see. Okay.
But you just started. The first property was the nest.
Right.
And was that when you started that one, Janice, was it already blocked off a door for the guests? Like, was it pretty turnkey, or did you have to do some construction to make it what it is today?
I had to do some construction. So it is a little awkward in my mind, but guests say they don't care. They enter through the garage and into a beautiful laundry room, laundry room slash mudroom, let's call it, which is a pantry. That room actually conjoins the main floor kitchen, and it didn't have a door on it before. So I installed a barn door, and then I used sound blocking on the kitchen side to keep it buffered from guests, but guests are welcome to use the laundry room. And then they transition up into the nest, which had its own door. It was the master bedroom before. It's 1,000 square foot space with a spa bathroom, jetted soaking tub. It's very romantic, and it has views down the valley. You can see the mountains off in one direction toward a national or a huge state park that's very popular. And then there's a beautiful farm that's over the hill on the other side. So it's really, it's very unique. And so I always thought, you know, this is a destination town, Sarah, as you know, the Barter Theater's here. And the Creeper Trail, which is a rails to trail is a very big southern destination. And I'm lucky for that. This town had those. It's just inadvertent that I landed here. But I thought guests would be in the nest, use the kitchenette, which I did have to build.
I was going
to
ask, what's the kitchen? Okay.
Yep. I converted a closet into a kitchenette. And then, and there's nothing about this house that's small. The kitchenette's like an 8x10, 8x12 room. So that's not a city experience. Having been from Seattle, yeah, that's not where we get there. And guests loved it. So they didn't leave. That's the part that I was surprised by. They would have all these plans and they'd tell me later, we decided, and they coined it nesting. We got here and it was not, I mean, it was what we expected, but the feeling was so different that we stayed in and we just chilled.
Yeah.
Like we snuggled up on the sofa. We drank coffee for 2 hours at the dining room table and looked at the view and just talked to each other, you know? And so that's their experience. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Okay. I hadn't anticipated that.
How has it been like living on site, Janice? I think obviously that's kind of where Airbnb as a platform originated, was sharing a space in your home. But so many of us now buy property for us to not live in short-term rented. I know that you have to live there for your insurance, so how has that been? Real talk. Do you ever feel like that you can't escape work because your quote unquote customers are always around you? Like, what is that? You feel like you have privacy? Because I think there are a lot of people out there who are curious about renting out a section of their home, but they're not sure what that experience is going to be like.
Well, fortunately, the house is large, so that's a good thing. And the nest in particular, because it is up above the garage, which is offset from the main house by about 8 feet, they're all connected, but the sound, I'm able to buffer the sound pretty effectively. I've made some additional changes since I first opened. Partly in preparation for doing the hilltop, but it's interesting living on site a lot. I have it in my listing that the host resides on property, and for the Oasis guests, you may hear the pitter pat of feet on the floor, but I try to be super quiet. I can live here comfortably. My boyfriend is in construction and hasn't worn his head protection or ear protection, so he speaks more loudly, so he gets the shushes. You guys heard him mock him the other day, Sarah. You heard him. I mean,
it was cute.
It was like,
babe, I'm on a call.
That's so good.
So it's I find it not challenging, but I also have a different mindset about it. I also don't make myself present to the guests, but I have guests who, this is an interesting thing too, even for other hosts, guests want to know that I am actually the owner of the property. The host is the owner. They actually have asked me to play that up more. The fact that they were renting from curated properties put at arm's length something that they did not like. They actually, yeah, I was surprised. I've had a couple say, you need to change your listing to say that you are the host, mm-hmm. because we think that's a huge value that we're renting from you. That's an angle.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought of.
I can agree with that. I can see, there are a lot of people that want to know that they're renting from an individual, not a company, or it's not a property management company. I mean, that there are just some people that are very devoted. Like, let's just say it, shop small. There's like that shop small section of guests, and that's why they're booking on Airbnb.
You know how we're always on the hunt for awesome furniture, decor, and supplies for our short-term rentals?
We're going to let you in on our secret weapon, Manoan. They are a free platform for hosts that offers steep discounts on over 150 top brands. Think Wayfair, Article, Our House, Leesa, Parachute, California Designed In, Public Goods, and Society 6. Plus, the ability to centralize all ordering and reordering needs to make tracking and bookkeeping a breeze.
I had my eye on gorgeous linens from Parachute, wanting to give our listing that wow factor with better quality that lasts. And my Manoan discount actually made it more cost-effective over the long run than the budget options requiring constant replacement. Seeing the savings, I naturally had to order more. All I had to do was head to their site, install their browser extension, which makes shopping so, so simple, and add items across partner brands to my cart with just a few clicks.
And when guests inevitably ask you about that awesome Leesa mattress that you purchased through Manoan, at a major discount, no less, you can point them to a custom digital storefront called Manoan Showroom. The best part? When guests shop their stay, you'll earn commission from hundreds of stores, including featured items you didn't purchase through Manoan.
So head over to Manoan.com/TFV_podcast or simply click the link in our show notes to sign up. Let the savings and the earnings begin.
Also, Janice, I want to ask about your neighbors.
Yeah.
You're saying, you know, you're in this cul-de-sac. We're looking at your house.
I'm
sure that the neighbors' houses are similar to yours. Did you let them know you were doing this? Did you kind of keep it under the radar? What's happened with the neighborhood?
I talked to my neighbors, and because there's a fair amount of space between each of the houses here, it's not like the country though, so maybe 20 to 40 feet between the houses. Interestingly, a great aunt lives next door to me on the left side of the house, which I didn't know when we bought the house. We figured that out like randomly. So I went and talked to them because my Oasis guests actually go by their bedroom at night when they go down to the unit. So I obviously have quiet hours, but I have never had a complaint from them. They have a well-insulated house also, and they have never said a word about it. And I asked them to let me know if anything's disturbing.
Okay.
And then I tend to not show my face unless a guest asks to meet me. But I also, because I maintain the property, I'm working on the weekends. I'm out working in the gardens, but I tend to work away from where the guests are. But I've run into a few different guests, and it's always been great. Some people say, I thought we would meet you while we were here. And then I was out doing something, and no. So I think it's I'm generally an introvert, but I love my guests. And I think personal connections are huge in this world. And so it's been good. But people I've never met give me 5-star reviews. So it's not that they're being swayed by meeting me, which is interesting.
Nice. Let's dig into the finances.
Yeah.
Did you do some competitive analysis ahead of time? I mean, it sounds like you were in a spot like, hey, I need to make some money. I need to make this asset work for me. I need to have this earning. What type of projections did you do ahead of time? Have you met them, exceeding them? Let's go through the financial aspect and you planning.
To be honest, it was, I have to do this. So I looked at other Airbnbs in town, and because I wanted to know what my competition was. The rates some of them were renting at were just like, why would you rent that low? Clearly nobody was using dynamic pricing. So I did. You guys were integral in me understanding dynamic pricing. I'd never heard of that before. And so luckily I did start off with it, I think in the first month.
Nice.
Maybe. Yeah, that was huge. That was a huge thing that you guys have blessed me with the knowledge of. I ran the finances for putting together the nest. Like, what were my costs to, I had to fully furnish it. There were no furnishings. And then some of the things I actually owned and was able to repurpose them there. And then on the secondhand market. So I didn't do marketplace. I wasn't familiar with marketplace, but this is a big antiques area. And I was able to find quite a few things on the antiques market that weren't very costly. And it, because of my background, I have the ability to put those things together pretty effectively. So I did a lot of secondhanding, which I find the quality is so much better, no offense to Wayfair, but than a Wayfair product, that it's going to hold up a lot longer. And, you know, I was spending $25 on bedside tables and, you know, $10 on vintage lamps and then repurposing, you know, rewiring and reshading them. So from that standpoint, I looked at the price per night and had an idea of what I could do. And thankfully, my father is a great help too. He's like, don't overestimate this, you know, just minimum, you know, do what you, the very minimum that you could possibly do, which was great. And of course, the economy was so weird then that things were pretty unpredictable. You guys are in an urban market, but in a rural market, you just never know.
Sure.
So I had some goals set for 2022, and I had our prime months here are pretty much May through the end of October. We have leaf peeping season, which is incredibly popular. The rest of the year can be a little bit slower, and I didn't really understand how to market to business travelers at that point, so I wasn't getting a lot of business rentals to flesh out the other part of the year, or even doing medium-term rentals. So my December through the next May was pretty slow, but that worked out. Shortly after I opened, my 79-year-old mom fell and broke her hip. And the next 7 months, which was, of course, as I was rolling out the nest and experiencing that, she was declining really quickly. My dad was trying to take care of her. And so my time was taken up really remotely assisting all the doctor's appointments and ambulance travels and hospital visits. And so it was pretty challenging. And she passed away in late January of 2023. And I was still quiet. So it was like, I don't care. We had some more legal things we had to deal with after that. That was, you know, another thing. So for me, I guess at that point, even though I needed to make the money, lifing was the priority, and supporting my father was the most important thing to me because he's always been there for me. Mm-hmm. And then, so in that time though, I was still finishing the renovations of the Oasis. And then I believe it opened in September. Kind of as a cue to other hosts, while I had taken advantage of the Airbnb Nest promo, I screwed up the Oasis promo. Because you know how with Airbnb, you set up your messaging, but they feed it out to you with the Nest. It was fed out to me while guests were booking. So I was scrambling to create the messages, even though I had had the HBMs. I was scrambling to have the appropriate messages at the right time because none of that was available to me in Airbnb until I started booking. Which I found that to be, because I'm a planner, I found that to be very frustrating. So I was constantly fighting fires and scrambling. So I thought, I'm not going to do this with Oasis. I'm going to have all this in place. I'm going to be ready to go. Well, I went live and I killed my promo period because I'm still building I was putting my new messaging appropriate for that rental.
Explain to us what the Oasis is different from the Nest.
Okay, the Nest is more transitional in design. That renovation was done by somebody else. So it was white trim everywhere and wood blinds, more a little bit more southern feeling. And the Oasis is part of the original house, which is much more contemporary.
Okay.
That was a pretty major renovation. I had to take out old wall-to-wall carpeting, put in luxury vinyl tile.
And this is just to short-term rent it. So the Nest, is obviously financially fruitful for you.
Yes.
You're pleased. You're happy. Are you crushing any of the numbers that you thought there, or are you just rocking steady?
I'm hitting them.
Great. Perfect. Okay. But hitting them so much that you're like, wait a second, there's another opportunity within this property. And had that, when you first started the Nest, did you even think, hey, there might be another portion of the home that could be rentable? Or did you have to like really reconfigure and like just think of that? It was like excitement from the Nest.
I found the Oasis took me longer to complete because it was a much larger actual renovation. I had to install a kitchenette with new cabinetry, had to custom design a dining island. I did a lot of space planning and planning on that unit, and it took longer. I had to enclose the interior stairwell from the main floor to the Oasis, and because it's an open house, so you can see through the treads, and you can't have that obviously to a private rental. Install a door where there'd been no door, soundproofing, all that stuff. So that was more costly. I think it cost me about $20,000 to do that renovation.
And how did you finance it? Did you leverage the home, or especially since you were life was lifing? So how did you do that?
The part-time job I had had during COVID paid very, very well. And I had stocked back all that money. So I used that cash to be able to, and I have the luxury, I'll be honest, I had alimony because I'd been married. So I had alimony coming in, but I was trying not to rely on that. I wanted to keep that as a buffer, but I did pull off my savings from that position and use that. And that helped me furnish it and helped me renovate it. And then credit cards.
Be real about it. Yeah, yeah. It takes to get it done. And how has that been? So you are, how long has that been since the Oasis has been open now?
2.5 years.
Yeah. So how has that been going?
So that's been up and down.
Okay.
So some things that you guys were integral in really helping me with. You introduced the idea, which I'd never even thought of taking the listing down. If it's just, it was because I missed that promo period, it did get blasted out. We're still in that COVID period where people weren't traveling together. And it was the whole floor, which was at that point, 2 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms with a large central living room, which is about 500 square feet on its own. This is about 1500 square feet total. Mm-hmm. Plus it has the outdoor decks and the 7,000 gallon koi pond. And that's really cool. You can see it from all the windows. And so that one took, because I missed the promo, I think that was really unfortunate. And then we're in the fall. So because I missed the promo and we're toward the start of our dead season, then I was in the dead season. So I utilized one of my relationships in HBM. So one thing I knew, I felt like I was too invested in Airbnb. All my eggs were in that basket. I find that scary, especially as an entrepreneur. I know you have to market yourself. And that the horror stories that we hear and we've talked about losing your listing really were concerning to me. So I wanted to have my own website and started off with a company that ended up really overselling and delivering their service, which was quite costly to me. And then I abandoned that and I got with OwnerRes after doing a bunch of research on property management systems. And so I own my domain. So I wasn't too worried about having them, I don't care if it's on their land. It's my name. I got it. I'll build another one if I have to. So that has been excellent. So that did not go live because of that unfortunate relationship with the first company. I didn't go live until May of 2023 with that. But last year, I got almost 28% of my bookings for direct bookings.
Yes,
and that's been 8 months.
So say that again. 28%.
28% of my bookings came through my direct booking site in 2024. I said 2023. And it's been huge. And I have multiple Facebook pages, which I had already set up before I found you guys. But, I don't throw a lot on there, but it makes it that my SEO is better because of it, because I can throw the name.
Ooh, a little pro tip there.
Pro tip.
I like that.
So I have the Nest Abingdon. I have the Oasis Abingdon. I don't have a Cozy Oasis. I will have a
Not yet.
And I have curated properties page. I have a YouTube channel. So, and that's the intent is to help the business, but it's a lot of exploration of the area for guests.
Love that. So, your direct bookings, Janice, if you had to break down the percentage, are these returning guests that you've, let them know that you have a site? Are these brand new guests? What's that percentages look like?
100% first time bookers.
Really?
100%. First time bookers.
And so when you ask them, do you do a follow-up survey? How did you find me? How are they finding you? How are they finding you?
So the first one, which I would let my chin hit my chest, it was like a $1,500 rental direct book. And it was the Oasis, and which had been slower. And so I was like, oh, wow, she found an Oasis. How'd she do that? And she searched best Airbnbs in Abingdon, Virginia. And it came up and my website came up and she booked it.
So
I now have that in all of, if I'm doing a hashtag, best Airbnb in Abingdon, Virginia.
Yeah.
So there, that's funny. I thought that was crazy. And then another one, I have carefully, although Airbnb, you guys know this is a big thing, Airbnb changing how you promote yourself in your listing.
Yeah.
All of my listings are the name of each of the listings, and those correlate to their Facebook pages. Nice. So there are crumbs everywhere. So one of my other guests was a work guest, and she found The Nest Abingdon, and she said, I bet I can search that. And she did. And so she booked it, you know, from one of my slow weeks. And every single guest has found the cues or has just uniquely found it. Another one went to, was an Airbnb, found my Instagram page, booked from there. Didn't book from there, but contacted me from there.
I think this is a great time for a pause, because I think so many hosts, a lot of our focus is direct booking, but it's also the focus of guests too, that the savvier traveler understands that they can book direct. There might be a financial advantage there amongst other advantages to just booking direct. And I think there's that whole book direct. There's not only a book direct movement with its host, there's a book direct movement with guests. And that is where there are so many influencers who are really helping us, because they are getting the message out there that, yes, they are on Airbnb, but these are property owners, just like any other hotel chain that you could go directly to their website and book that. And so I'm really thankful for the influencers that are getting the book direct movement out there, because that's why your guests were doing those things like, hey, let's go here. But you said it best, that you are leaving breadcrumbs, a little trail of crumbs all over the internet for your guest, but still staying compliant to the mothership, to Airbnb. And I think I really want to impress that with everybody, that there's a way to do this. There is a way to stay on the up and up with the OTAs, because we don't want you to completely, you know, go against any of the rules, which we know are getting stronger. And then with AI being able to troll all of the listings, you really need to, these like other hacks people were trying to do are not going to be hacking. You're going to be removed. But I love the stuff that you are giving there, Janice, of going after it, because I feel like Sarah and I talk to so many hosts who think direct booking is a waste of time. And I love it because this is your personal home, and you're like, you had your one property and looked, it's probably a lot of your entrepreneurial background too, of like really taking ownership of owning the site.
I have a question that you just popped in my head, Annette. Janice, a lot of people who are afraid of booking direct, it's because they believe that an Airbnb guest is more vetted and it's safer. You live on property.
Yeah, you live there, right? You're really
talk to me issue. About how you've overcome that fear that for somehow a guest on Airbnb is going to be safer than someone who books directly with you.
Well, one was need, first of all. But the second part is because they had found me through Airbnb, then I knew they had been on Airbnb. Mm. Now, and I have, I think, and I'm not sure, you two might be more, have more perspective on this, but because I'm a female, I tend to attract females. So I'm attracting women's groups, single women travelers, women traveling in pairs, things like that. And I think there's some, I mean, I have men book with me too, like single men also. It's not mutually exclusive. But I think, refresh me back to the question. I'm sorry, I lost
it. Yeah, no. Why you trust? Because people put the trust that the guest is somehow super vetted because it came through Airbnb. Right. How are you trusting the guests that are come to your
direct? I like that mindset, actually, Janice, of, well, if they found you through Airbnb, that means they're on Airbnb. So by proxy, they are an Airbnb guest, but they just decided to find you direct. So that's interesting. I've actually never thought of it that way.
Yeah. And honestly, I've only had, I would say, one bad guest in the last, I'm pushing 3 years right now. And it was a very wealthy couple who drove a very expensive vehicle, who were very entitled and snuck their dog into the nest, which is pet friendly, and it was not a service animal.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so it, and they came through Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So Airbnb is not a great clearinghouse for that either. I think we are too reliant in our brains on Airbnb psychologically. And I think breaking away from that's going to be very critical, especially with these most recent changes that they've made. Airbnb has forgotten that I own my property. Mm-hmm. I do all of the legwork. I am taking on the liability. And yes, they get a little cut of it, but they're making it very difficult for me to do that successfully with using them as my platform. And so I think there's going to be a lot of hosts that start to get tired of that rub. And we got to remember too, you know, going back in time, people booked direct with property owners for centuries, right? Literally centuries.
Do you clean your properties, Janice? Or do you have a team helping you at all?
That has been one of the biggest challenges with me having this business. So I have cleaned my units many times and done all the laundry for the last 2.5 years. But I have had cleaners. I've had some great cleaners. And then I've had some problematic cleaners. And so it is one of the bigger challenges, I think, as we've talked about a lot in the group and I hear on other Facebook pages, is that problem. And because I'm in a small town, I even have a smaller pool. And because I'm in a small rural town in Appalachia, I have some other challenges related to that.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all been great people.
So you have the cleaners now, but it sounds like worst case scenario, Janice can get in there and get it done. Right. Okay. That's all of us worst case scenario. If you live by, you know, like, hey, I can go in and get
a backup
it done.
For your backup. You said something that's now too, Janice, that you said that you're in other Facebook groups. So I do want to go back real quick to how long you've been with us inside of our private membership. And we were talking before we pressed record about how, because when you join a membership, the first 6 months is your first 6 months. And if you want to continue on, you become a VIP and you pay $97 a month, but then you get access to everything you had access to before and you continue on. So you're in other Facebook groups. I'm guessing they might be like the free Facebook groups, local Facebook groups, and maybe specific Facebook groups to certain topics in our industry. So why, not only is it important for you to be in our private Facebook group, but also how do you make time for yourself to show up to all of our calls and to, you're always posting in our group. You give advice, you ask for advice. I mean, all these years later, talk to us about that mindset. You're obviously now a very experienced host and you're still in there asking really good questions. You're always tweaking your listing. So what's your mindset behind that?
Well, one of the things I love about the group beyond the two of you is the Facebook page, because it's a 24/7 resource. Not that anybody's necessarily going to respond very quickly, but generally there's so many people in the group. And what do we average, under 250?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I love about it, and I think it's the way the two of you set it up, is that it has to stay positive and productive. And there's some other groups that I've joined, and there's one that I'm still getting some things from, and I've had to unfollow because the responses are so toxic.
Mm.
When people are asking for help, it actually makes me nauseous. I think Tanya has commented on this too. They're literally, that somebody is asking for assistance in this host group and the people are hateful. And in HVM is never hateful. It's always helpful. And so I think because I was a newbie 3 years ago and asked what some more experienced hosts might perceive to be stupid questions, but nobody ever treated them that way. I try to also be a good mentor because there's these, you guys know, when I joined you guys, I didn't know the terminology of the industry. I didn't know the software of the industry. I didn't know the digital locks. I didn't know what a property management system was. I didn't know ADR. I didn't know all these other terms. And I've learned all that from you guys. Literally, I've gone to HBM University. So I show up because you guys you're so amazing at growing the program. And you're constantly bringing current things into the program. And I love the workshops that you're doing. I love the booking workshop. I'm excited you're doing the revenue workshop coming up. And I participate in each one of those things, which fortunately are included in the membership.
Mm-hmm.
But even in those groups with people who are probably only coming from the podcast for the most part, they're still really positive.
Mm. Right.
And people are really coming because they're hungry for knowledge and to be the best. And I think the two of you are amazing at floating all boats.
I love that. I love that we've created that safe space for you. But I, again, like, it, our group, we can curate the educators. We can curate our, you know, our group coaching calls. But the cool thing about you and so many HBM members is that you show up time and time again, even if it might be a call where maybe you kind of sit and listen and you're not participating, you still show up. And it's just like, it's incredible. And I think you have a lot to show for it. I mean, you're still making changes with your one property, just how you've optimized it. It is gorgeous. You're showing new angles of your property, by the way, Janice, that I have not seen before. I showed it to Annette too.
I'm like, why is she holding out on us?
You know what I mean? And that's because we're busy as hosts. You got a lot of things going on. You've got one project, you know, creating the Oasis. So you're building that out. Now you're trying to figure out different ways to position it. And so as business owners, especially if you're listening right now and you have multiple properties, think about that. Now multiply that. How much are you really digging in and optimizing your property? And I just have to give you kudos that you never stop. And I think that shows.
Thank you. Well, I think, you know, it's one thing to learn something and then sit there and not do anything with it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So taking action steps, like sometimes I'll come, like you said, sometimes I'll just come to the meetings and listen because there's such great questions that get asked. I don't think I've ever put in a question in advance, but clearly I asked one the other day. More I'm on the spot of things that are occurring in the moment.
Right.
Most of my big picture things, if I need an answer, I put it in the Facebook group because I can't wait.
Yeah.
But I think the action steps, like I'm always going to learn something in one of those meetings. And I'm always going to learn something in the Facebook group. Or I'm going to have the perspective from my business experience and consulting experience with other types of businesses that does translate.
Yeah.
Like I was joking the other day, I had my one great idea for the day. Somebody was talking about the challenges of having hired a cleaner and then going in and seeing what it looked like afterward. And how could they head it off in the future? And I said, have them bring you pictures of other units that they've set up. Send them before you interview them. Mm-hmm. Because now you can see what they've done, how they've done a setup at somebody else's property. If they think it looks awesome and you think it looks horrific, they're not going to know. You don't have to say anything. They're just not a fit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or if they're open to training, my current cleaner is awesome. She's like, I've never done this before, but if you show me how to do it, how you want it, I will do my best to do that. And so we're 2 months in now and she's doing really well. So I'm really pleased. So there's that. Find somebody younger who wants to learn. She has her own business, supporting another female business, and take action steps there too, to help her understand what I'm looking for. Because you cannot assume that.
No, that's great advice. Janice, we've covered so much. You are crushing it. I'm so glad. Everyone needs to click on her property in the show notes because it is very impressive. The landscaping is, Janice, it's so good. Is there anything we haven't asked you that you'd like to share with our listeners that we haven't covered?
Not about my properties, but I would say as in business, if I know you guys listen to Alex Hormuzzi. I started listening to him way after this, but this is, if you can do yourself the favor by investing what I consider to be a very small amount of money, even as a startup, to learn from people who are already experts in that business, you will take let's call it a 5-year learning curve. You'll turn it into a year learning curve, which means you'll be making more money. So I have doubled every year in revenue that I've been open. And that's with all these different life things. I'm still a member. I think HBM is amazing. I value it all the time. You guys are a huge resource for me. But that knowledge investment has paid for itself 100 times over. It's like understanding your pricing and using price labs and being able to tweak price labs effectively. It pays for itself. You guys are my who. In, you know, the Ooh, who, not
yes.
how.
Benjamin
you're my
party
who.
Fan.
Yes.
Yeah. Benjamin Party fan.
And so, well, you're our who too, because you're so active and you're always trying new things. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need that to be able to then, okay, let's go help Janice out and find out how to help her with this piece of content. Let's go to this expert and ask them their opinion. I mean, having people who are, you know, doing what you're doing helps us too. So it's this really great relationship where we can just continue to improve
and
our industry.
We love you saying you're doubling your revenue every year because we know there's so many hosts out there that one tweak. We already we see the calendars, we see the photos, we see the listing description. It's like, no, like one thing can unlock a compound effect on your
not only the one prop, you know, one property, but like you, for instance, you're sitting on four, you're going to have four listings under one roof. And like some people, like even parent child, like that unlocking of that is really just that perspective that can really just change the game for hosts. And that's what Sarah and I want to do. We want to serve hosts out there that have invested so much time and money into these assets and just make sure that the assets are working for them. We're like your asset managers, if you will. So Janice, where can our listeners find you? Where can they let their friends, their family, themselves, if they're going to the theater or the Creeper Trail, book direct with you?
CuratedPropertiesLC.com. If you want to get in contact with me, just hit inquire and send me a message. It comes straight to me. And I'd love it if people followed my curated properties on Facebook or Instagram. That would be super helpful. I also have all the other little ones, but just go for that one.
Yeah. And I want to say, this is one thing that I think hosting, you have completely, you're probably the poster host for this, Janice, resilience. Yeah. I think this is the thing that a lot of people don't share about hosting. You need to be resilient. And through the episode today, there were multiple times I'm like, she is resilient. And I want to share that if anybody is hosting, you are also resilient, just because the 2 a.m. is going to happen. The family members are going to happen. The just life will life on you. And so, Janice, I want to say, like, that resiliency of not like getting knocked down and not coming back up is like what the host community is all about also. So thank you for
you guys
crushing it.
Well done, Janice. I'm excited to continue our journey with you. And if you are interested in learning more about the Hosting Business Mastery, Janice has lovingly called it HBM. We'll put a link in the show note. We're actually going to do kind of an open house next week. I believe it's next Tuesday or Wednesday. But either way, we'd love to have you there next Wednesday at 1 Eastern. So click the link in the show notes. It's completely free to come check it out. With that, I am Sarah Carrick.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week.
Want to know our best kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR must-haves master list, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The must-haves master list is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks in to your short-term rental and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE must-have master list by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best host didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.